I can't do this now.
You're not playing today?
Give me all the home teams in the National and all the away teams in the American.
You kidding?
Every game for the $1,000 max.
You're the man.
October 2nd, 2018. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Clip at the top of the show was from a movie called Owning Mahoney, featuring Philip Seymour Hoffman. This is a really interesting movie. If you've never seen it, it's about a Canadian banker who uses his access to loans and accounts to fraudulently get money and go gamble it. And it is a true story, unfortunately. It is a really fascinating story, and it's difficult to watch. I had to watch it in two sittings. About halfway through, there was just so much degenerate problem gambling in it where I just, you know, it was like watching Awkward Moments for too long. It was like, I can't, my brain just won't let me watch this for too much. So I had to finish it in two sittings, but it's a really interesting movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman does a great job in that role, and it really puts some of that stuff into perspective. So I use that clip because the guest from today bets on baseball, but of course is not betting in the manner that Philip Seymour Hoffman is there in that clip, saying that he wants all the home teams in the National League and all the away teams in the American. Not how one should handicap, I'll tell you that. Not much gambling going on in my life over the past week. I went to MGM National Harbor is giving me $10 of free play for each week in October. I went today to cash in that free play. Got nothing. The weekend in football was horrible. Weekend in soccer was pretty good. Not enough to offset, but enough to cushion a blow for sure. And I did very well in the Monday Night Football game, and I did very well today, in Champions League. So, I do bet a lot of soccer. I don't talk too much about it because I don't know. It's something I enjoy doing, something for me, but, doing okay on the books on that front. Other than that, not a lot of gambling going on. I am trying to put together a better way, every pun intended there, a better way of tracking my gambling. Table games, free play, sports betting, etc. And that's actually what next week's podcast is going to be about. But I'll talk more about that later. MGM National Harbor, the casino closest to me put out their October promotions, and man, I am not impressed. There is nothing on that promotion board that excites me whatsoever. Usually there's one or two things where I'm like, oh, I'm definitely going to do that. Hopefully I get a chance to do that. Nothing really on their promotion calendar for October that I'm going to be jumping at. They did give me the $10 of free play for each week, so it's going to be $50 total, so this counts the half week at the end of the month, but $50 total in the month of October is about as much as I may do. There is a Baccarat tournament at the end of the month. It's on a Monday, and with my new work schedule, I can finally take advantage of that, I think. So I will hopefully get to that Baccarat tournament, which I definitely need to do because I've been trying to get to a tournament of some sorts on an average of once a month. And while I was exceeding that average a little bit over the summer, the past couple months have been tough because MGM National Harbor just scaled back their frequency a little bit. So I hope to get to that. This week's guest is Greg Peterson. Greg Peterson is a sports bettor. He was on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. That's how I learned about him. He then moved on to become the host and producer of the That's a Gold show and the Super Contest podcast. Him and I are going to talk about his life of gambling, talk about how he got hooked up with VSiN, where he is now, and his baseball betting. He's been betting a lot of baseball this year, high volume better, which is it takes a lot of conviction to be a high volume better, to be able to put so many bets down in a long season like baseball is, 162 games. You can really knead through some of the variance that brings, but still high volume's high volume, and if variance doesn't go your way, you can tank quickly. Fortunately, Greg has had a good year, so he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. Enjoy. Greg Peterson, at GUnit_81 on Twitter. I remember you from your VSiN days. That's how I first got acquainted with you as a personality. But you now are a host and producer of the That's Gold Show and the Super Contest Pod. Sir, thank you so much for joining us on The Better Life.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, Greg, we start this at the moment that all of us gamblers have in common, right? And that is the first time we got to see gambling, whether it was our dad's home poker game, maybe our mom did bingo night, whatever it may be. Do you remember the first time you were in the room or you saw some form of gambling happening?
I remember it vividly. Obviously, there are like the NCAA pools in which you pay $2 into things like that, but my biggest one was really when I was a senior in college out there at the good old D3 University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. I'm sure everyone knows where that is. It's super famous. We are the Titans. And the UW Oshkosh Titans were taking on a FCS opponent in the South Dakota State Jackrabbits for the first time since the 1970s. What this meant is for essentially the first time ever, UW Oshkosh had a betting spread on the game. I thought this was pretty cool because I had no idea about sports betting at the time. I was 21 years old. I took a look. UW Oshkosh was catching 46.5 points against the Jackrabbits. So I'm just like, you know what? How do I get in on this? I went to fivedimes.com, laid $60 to get back 50 on the Titans. And wouldn't you know it, they only lost by 35. So I was a winner on my first ever bet.
And it's all downhill from there, isn't it? When you win your first bet, it's all downhill from there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You think, oh, this is really easy. I'm just going to get 46.5 points every single game. And every time, I'm just going to cash.
I can do 10-point teasers? How, that's like robbing banks. I'll just pick every team for a 10-point teaser. Yeah, there's... when you first get into sports betting and you're unsure of how everything works, some things just seem a little too like, oh, like that seems easy enough.
Oh yeah, I just can't imagine what would have happened if they wouldn't have covered 46.5 points. I think I probably would have cried myself into a coma.
So then, like, was that like a catalyst into like regular sports betting, or did you start betting each week, each day? Like, what did that turn into initially?
It really put it on my radar. I wasn't like firing on 20 games a day or anything like that, like I do now. But it's like, hey, there are lines on these games. They seem to be pretty sharp. They seem to be a good indicator of how things go. Because I actually used to be into more traditional sports radio before getting into the sports gambling world back in June of 2017 when I joined the Vegas Stats and Information Network. So, I mean, it was one of those things that I looked into. It actually helped me pay off a little bit of money in my student loans back when I was struggling a little bit in my radio days. But, I mean, it was something that it became on the radar, and then it really took off last June.
So, when you say, I mean, you say really took off, I don't know how busy you were getting down action last year, but I've been following you on Twitter this year, and you have the highest volume of Major League Baseball bets that I have ever seen anybody do in a season.
Exactly. It is the shotgun approach, because one thing that I found with baseball this year is, for one, the books are absolutely cleaning house, and two, there have been a lot of bad beats, especially on totals. So the reason why I do play so many games is it takes the luck out of it. And when you're able to take the luck out of it, it's just truly your handicapping that you're going to win or lose on. I try to watch as many games as humanly possible. I'm always on the MLB Network every night. I'm watching as they go from game to game to game, so I'm able to get a couple minutes of just about every game, see how these starting pitchers are doing, seeing how these bullpens are doing. Because what another thing that I noticed with the MLB this year is so many bullpens, they're either so good on sub nights or they are just absolutely gas canning games. So by knowing the bullpens a little bit more and by actually watching them, I'm able to take that information along with the analytics that you can find on like FanGraphs, team rankings, things like that, and come up with handicaps on just about every game. And so far it's worked out because entering this Wednesday, I was up nearly 90 units in baseball this year. So things have clearly been working in a year where bettors have not been doing too good in MLB.
No, it's been I have a few friends that I very much respect in MLB, and it's been a difficult season for them for sure. You mentioned Oshkosh and sort of joked about people's understanding of where it is. I've actually visited extended family on my wife's side in Neshkoro, which is maybe a half hour west of Oshkosh. So I've actually been up in that neck of the woods before. How did you end up in Las Vegas?
Well, at the time, when I left college, I was just going from essentially sports talk radio station to sports talk radio station. I spent a year out in Nashville, Tennessee as a weekend show host there. Then I went to Portland, Oregon with 102.9 The Game as a producer who got a little bit of airtime but wasn't doing a whole lot. I was mainly doing college basketball expertise. And then a buddy told me, hey, there's a full-time job available with Vegas Stats and Information Network. Would you be interested? They couldn't give me a set guarantee, but I decided to move to Las Vegas anyway because I was enamored with the area. I walk in, I was able to get the job as pretty much a production assistant, which if you know anything about the industry and sports media, that means that you're essentially doing the grunt work. You're cutting up videos and everything like that. And I was just talking to people about my college basketball knowledge and things like that, trying to hype myself up, give myself a chance. Eventually, I got it and was able to co-host the show, The March to Madness, make some appearances on My Guys in the Desert with Ron Flatter and Amal Shah every week. Those two were very instrumental in myself getting my voice out there a little bit more. I was able to do some guest appearances. I'm sure you know the show Follow the Money. Mitch Moss, Paul Howard, two very, very classy guys, and both from the Midwest as well. So we're able to make a very good connection there, and it just all took off with my college basketball stuff. I decided to do more baseball. It's been working out. Been doing some college football from there because I've got people clamoring for those picks. I've been doing that. I'm into NFL a little bit more, which has been more break-even, to be honest, because let's face it, the NFL has the tightest spreads, and sometimes it feels like playing Plinko with those lines. But, I mean, things have been going really well, and I owe it all to the fine folks and the people on here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
Yeah, sure. And the one show that did not get mentioned in that bit that I actually saw you on first was on A Numbers Game with my friend Gil Alexander. I think you were doing a college basketball segment with him.
Oh yes, I was doing a lot of college basketball with Gil Alexander. He was inviting me on essentially every day, and essentially every day I'm like, yes, please. I mean, it was so much fun because he actually asked me about my Tinder dating life, which I got a girlfriend off Tinder, which that was really fun. I had a good laugh about that. Gil, another great guy. He does such a good job with breaking down the analytics of the game. I mean, I knew nothing about XFIPs and Sierras before going to the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and by listening to his show, I found out so much about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Gil is such a nerd when it comes to those sabermetrics. You mentioned... actually, I'm curious. Now I'm curious. Okay, so you found a girlfriend on Tinder. I'm assuming they're in the Vegas area. What was her response? Were her response to the gambling? Now I know it's Vegas. There's gambling everywhere, but I'm sure some people are still adverse to it. Does she have any particular feelings about your high volume of betting?
Not really. It was one of those neither here nor there things. It was just a part of things because everyone has various professions around here. A lot of women are like cocktail waitresses and everything like that. And then you've got random guys that they're in the entertainment business and everything like that. And I'm obviously a sports gambler. I do a whole lot of that. But at the same time, you're in the entertainment business as well. You're trying to put on a good show. You're trying to be entertaining on Twitter and things like that as well. So it's a little bit of everything, and the entertainment value goes up when you win. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What else? What do you love about Vegas? How long? I mean, you said you've been out there for a couple of years with this gig with VEASAN. When you said you were enamored with the city, what is it about the city that has you so enamored, and are you still enamored?
For one, just driving down the Vegas Strip, looking at all the nice casinos, like seeing Caesar's Palace, the Rio, the list goes on and on, all those iconic buildings that you see in movies, that never gets old. Also, I am from Wisconsin. During the winters, it snows. In Vegas, I don't have to shovel. That's really nice. Even though you do have like the 110 degree days in like June and July, you don't have to shovel heat, as Amal Shah once said. So, you know what? That's a big bonus there. And everything around here is newer because the casinos make so much money in penny slots. I believe it's $275 million a month typically. So they're able to upkeep their buildings. You're seeing all these nice new things and everything like that. That is a whole lot of fun as well. And there's just something to do every night in Las Vegas. I mean, in Wisconsin, you can go out on a Friday, Saturday night. There's always bars open and everything like that. But, I mean, I can go down to Caesar's Palace and see Celine Dion essentially whenever I want. There's a different DJ in town every weekend. The nightclubs are just absolutely insane. Very, very expensive, but very insane as well. So, I mean, there's never a shortage of things to do.
I remember the last year when I was in Vegas, for my bachelor party, my friend, of course, met these girls. I'm not interested, right? Because I'm celebrating my about to soon be married, right? So I could care less. But he meets his girls and he wants to chase them. But I may be getting married, but that doesn't mean I can't be a wingman, right? So I was looking to help him out, and he found out that they were in. What's that big mega club at Caesars? Starts with an O.
Omnia.
They're in Omnia. We go to Caesar's Palace. There's a line around every corner, not just the corner, around every corner to get into this place. And I'm like, I'm not waiting in a corner, waiting in a line. And then I saw that they had a diamond member line, and I'm a diamond member with Total Rewards. I was like, okay, maybe we can do this. So I walked up there and I showed the guys like, so, do we have front of line privileges? He's like, yeah, but you're still gonna have to pay a cover. It was like close to $100 a piece. And I was like, who? And I looked at everybody in line and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I started like, I was like, that's a lot of money sitting in line. Now my friend, not thinking with his brain, but with other parts of his anatomy, he decided to pony up the money to go in. Greg, if we weren't in there for 20 minutes by the time we found these women and they were like, we want out.
Oh, no.
It was crowded. Two, one of them thought they were getting a table, which they were not getting a table. Like, the person that they were, you know, it's one of those, like, oh, the person I was going to like it. And then apparently they had also been like pretty heavily molested while they were in the club, which is a huge problem in Vegas mega clubs like that and around the world. But we weren't in there for more than 30 minutes and he ponied up almost a couple $100 for both of us to get in there. Oh man, that's my Vegas. I've only been to one Vegas mega club and that's it. And I would never go back into another one.
The key is that you didn't have to pay. That's big because you always need a guarantee from a buddy that they're going to be the ones that are paying, because I was once able to get bottle service at one of those clubs because I had two cute women from my high school in town. So that was actually a mega sweet night.
Nice.
Now, had they not been there, I would have had to pay a bunch of money myself, have to buy like $20 drinks and things like that. And there's still no guarantee that I'll be anywhere near successful. So always be smart when trying to get into Vegas nightclubs.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're not enjoying the concerts, the mega clubs, there's a lot of fine dining, you're a sports bettor at heart, and there's plenty of great sports books in that town. Give me your top one or two sports books that you enjoy sitting in, not necessarily getting action down on, but that you enjoy being in to watch the game.
You gotta go Westgate, number one. I mean, the curved TVs, you've got so many lines that you can bet on. They do such a good job with their props and everything like that. I cannot speak highly enough about the Westgate. Everyone knows about the Super Contest. Wonder if that's going to be getting over $1.4 million. I mean, Jake Cornegay, John Murray, all those guys out there, Jeff Sherman, they do the best job in the business. I cannot advocate highly enough that if you're in town in Vegas, you need to get to the Westgate Superbook.
How are you? And you don't have to give me all your secrets. I'm not looking for you to expose yourself here, but like in general, how are you getting action down? Are you walking up to the window? Are you using the apps? How do you usually get your action down?
Mostly apps. I mean, once in a while, I'll make a couple bets at a sports book, but getting the app is so huge because you want to be able to get these lines as quickly as possible. I actually have a couple websites in which I'm tracking lines in live time, so that way I'm getting on my app, I'm firing it up, and I'm getting down action right away. Now, some of these apps do close overnight, and what's nice about the South Point is a casino that I live 2 miles away from. They're taking action essentially 24/7. I believe the only hours that they're not open is from 4 to 5 a.m. in order to do a little bit of bookkeeping. So I'm able to get some overnights there, and then from there I'm also getting some action down on the apps just because it's so much quicker and more efficient, and I can get the lines that I want.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the answer to this question because you live there, but I'm curious if maybe your friends have done this. You know, every time I go to visit, it's like I always want to go to the counter at least once, right? And then that always turns into me just always going to the counter, and I never bother with an app, but I know I should. Do you know, is it pretty simple to, like, as a tourist, can I show up, put money in my account, play it, and like 2 hours before my flight, cash out and be good by the time I get home? Or does it not work that smoothly for us tourists?
Oh, it works that smoothly for tourists because it does sometimes take a little bit to sign up for the app, especially on an NFL Sunday because there are so many people that are wanting to do it. But yeah. I mean, you can cash out at just about any time. As long as the counter is open, you can cash out like an hour before your flight or something like that you were mentioning. I mean, it is actually that easy, and you can leave some money in there. If you think you're going to be back in a couple months, you can cash it all out. I mean, it's very, very flexible. They make the betting on app process so easy in Vegas.
Yeah, and those are, you can use those anywhere in Nevada, right? So you sign up for an app in Vegas for whichever shop, and then you take a trip to Reno, you can still use that, or Laughlin, or wherever you might be, you can still use that app to get action, right?
Exactamundo.
Perfect. Man, that's convenient. I still live in a state and an area that has not legalized sports betting yet. As I'm watching the states within arm's reach legalize it and come really close to legalizing apps, I'm like, man, I might be taking day trips to these states just so I can get action down on. What'll be nice though about the apps is instead of having to go all the way into Delaware or all the way into West Virginia to get to the casino, really could just cross a state line, and as soon as my cell phone connects to a cell tower in that state, I can probably start using it. So that's what I'm hoping happens. Are you in the Super Contest?
I am. I had a nice ice cold 1-4 week last week, so believe me, it was a little bit of a tough one. It's one of those weeks where I probably shouldn't have faded the public, but you know how it goes in the Super Contest. Good news is the totals that I was playing last week went quite well in the NFL, but it's one of the sports that I actually bet the least just because it can be a bit of a crapshoot, and the lines are so tight that getting a half point or a point difference can make all the difference.
Are you, do you play any other contests like Last Man Standing at stations or the Golden Nuggets? I know they have a contest. Are you doing anything else?
I was looking at joining the Golden Nugget contest this year. I decided against it, but it's certainly something that I'm going to be looking into, and I really want to get into Station Casino's Last Man Standing contest as well. I'm certainly going to be doing that one next year as well as I get more and more versed into football because, I mean, the Super Contest is obviously the holy grail of all of them. But I actually think that college football is the way to go because something I've been noticing in the NFL is your bet could be won or lost by a stupid call by a referee. Oh, that's something I want no part of. And in college football, I mean, granted, sometimes you're going to get some bad calls and things like that, but you're not going to get a roughing the passer call like we saw with Clay Matthews last week.
Yeah, I was going to say the roughing the passer call this year is a great example of that, right? I mean, it's in the case you mentioned against the Vikings, that swung the outcome of a game, right? And in the case against the Redskins, and then there was another one in the Seattle-Dallas game, may not have swung a game, very well could have swung a score, right? And those matters when you're betting on spreads and totals. You also host and produce a podcast on the Super Contest called the Super Contest Pod. That's very appropriately titled, by the way. What are you covering in this show?
Well, first of all, it took me several weeks to come up with that title, so don't be too impressed. But what we do is we take
a whole whiteboard in front of you, chalkboard, like trying to figure out what to call it.
Yeah, it's just like the college football playoff. It's like, I wonder what we should call this.
Yeah.
But with that said, what we're doing is we're running down the lines for every single game in the Super Contest. We're asking some general questions about injuries, overreactions to maybe the first couple weeks of the year, teams that might have some value, some trends like home underdogs and how they're doing against the spread and things like that. We always have a guest join us. Last week it was Kelly in Vegas, who does a fantastic job, by the way. She was on there. She gave us some great insight. And then from there, we announce our five picks, and we do so every Thursday morning. So, I mean, it's a whole lot of fun. And what I noticed about a lot of the other Super Contest podcasts is they typically get out there on, like, Friday or Saturday. I think that it's always best to do it on Thursday just because there are some people that they want to play that Thursday game, and you just never know when there's going to be value on that Thursday game.
Sure. I was giving you a hard time about the being called the Super Contest Podcast. Listeners should know that it's called the High Five, the Super Contest Podcast, which the High Five actually is pretty clever considering that there's five picks to the Super Contest. So I do give you appropriate props on the name of that. I wanted to just give you a hard time about the second part of the name.
Pat on the back.
Pat on the back. That's right. You're also host and producer of the That's Gold show, or That's Gold with Steve Heitner. Heitner or Hittner?
Heitner.
Heitner. Okay. Tell us about this. This is what you transitioned to from VSiN, right? This was the transition. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct. Steve Heitner, you may remember from his days with Seinfeld. He was Kenny Banya on that series. So what we do is we take a look at some of the games for the day. We always place one bet that we feel most strongly about. And then we hit some headlines in the world of football. And then just like general Vegas nightlife style. I mean, we've had people on that just talk about like the Vegas dining area and things like that. So it is a lifestyle show with a very, very heavy emphasis on sports and sports betting. So it is a lot of fun. And then you get some fun stories with Steve, like talking about his mom playing the penny slots and things like that. So you never know what you're going to get. It's a show about sports, and it's also just fun in general. So I've been having a great time with it. It's myself, Steve Heitner, and then also a 40-year veteran in the radio industry in Rich Johnson, who does a very good job of keeping us glued together. Because let me tell you, myself and Steve, we are two loose cannons.
Yeah, very well. You've been in Vegas for a little while. You're talking about all the hijinks that can be seen. Have you had a celebrity run in yet? Have you seen one in the sports book or sat down one at a buffet? Have you had any celebrity run ins yet?
I once just saw Mark May chilling in the South Point sports book, so that was pretty cool. We had Bryant McFadden in studio with the Vegas Hats and Information quite a few times. So that was a lot of fun. And then I don't know if you've ever heard of bowler Kelly Kulick. I ran into her just randomly trying to get some coffee, and we just had a nice conversation there. I was a former college bowler, so I thought that was really cool. Other people are just there like, why are you bragging about that? But I mean, it was a personal bucket list thing for me, being a former bowler with the fine UW of Oshkosh program.
Sure. Do you handicap any bowling?
Not really. I can't. It's hard to find bowling lines out there. I mean, the South Point and the Westgate, please make lines on these bowling tournaments. I would love to bet them.
You know, I have found that is for as many lines as you can get out of the South Point, if they don't already have a process in for a sport, it is still difficult to get them to get a line. I went there one time looking for a line on women's soccer. The first time I went, Chris Andrews was nice enough to have his soccer guy make me a line the second time. By second time, I mean like a completely separate trip. So the second trip that I went in looking for some women's soccer lines, I was a little less fortunate on getting them. So I hope that you one day get to be what was probably one of the first people to put an actual, like a legal sports bet. I'm sure there's plenty of action at the bowling alleys, but I can't imagine very many people have walked up to a counter in Las Vegas and wagered on bowling there at the sports book.
Yeah, not many people are just here like, can I place a unit bet on the real deal Bill O'Neill to win the Chameleon Championship, please?
Do you watch bowling? Are you?
Watching bowling. I mean, it is fantastic. I mean, these guys are doing so many great things on these very, very hard oil patterns. I mean, it's really impressive what they do. So many people say, oh, bowling's not a sport. It's a recreational activity and things like that. It is hard to be an effective bowler.
I don't doubt you one bit. I'm probably not getting as excited as you are when I watch a bowling tournament, but I can imagine. Same thing with curling, right? People, we look at curling like whatever, and then people, you know, you realize, oh, there's actually like a lot of there's actually some physical talent that goes into this.
Exactly.
I don't know how you feel about being pulled in with curling, but there you go. What other sports are you betting? You mentioned football, baseball, college basketball. Are you betting hockey when it's in season? Are you betting any soccer? Do you get any more obscure than that?
I did a little bit of hockey during the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially with the Vegas Golden Knights making the Stanley Cup. I actually got +220 on the Washington Capitals to win the Stanley Cup after VGK went up 1-0. So that was a very nice hit there, but I don't really step outside of, I would say, my comfort zone of sports, because I have a philosophy of I don't bet what I don't know. I don't have enough time to keep up with like Premier League soccer or Bundesliga or something like that. So, I mean, I'm just not going to fire a bet to fire a bet. I need to really know about a sport. I need to do my research. That's why I operate, because I just don't feel comfortable putting down bets on something that I've only been researching for a couple days or read an article on or something like that.
Yeah, good on you. I mean, it goes to the old adage, right? Only invest in what you understand or what you know. It's funny you mentioned Bundesliga. I had action today on a game in Bundesliga 2, right? So not even the main league, the league underneath. It was Bundesliga 2. Oh, man, people are going to think I'm a degenerate. But I had an edge. Are you playing any other casino games? I don't know if you went into Vegas a poker player or if you liked throwing dice at all. Do you play any of that now that you're in Vegas? What's your experience with table games?
I really don't play a lot of table games. I mean, I used to play a little bit of online poker, but that was more or less for fun. I only had like a couple dollars in my account, and I just played it for the heck of it. I was always one of those people in poker games where I would join a tournament, and I would just try to fold my way to the money. So, I mean, I was that kind of guy, just play super, super tight, hope to get some cash, and then let's see what I can do from there. So, I mean, that's essentially my experience with table games. I know that the casinos also clean up on those, so you're not going to catch me playing baccarat or throwing dice or anything like that.
All right, very well. What is do you? I'm sure you've done plenty of things in Vegas. Sounds like you're taking advantage of every aspect of it. But what is still on your? Give me top one or two things on your Vegas bucket list. What are you still yet to do?
I really want to just go to more casinos, go to like Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay and things like that. I want to go into a little bit more of the fine dining, because there are a bunch of nice steakhouses and everything in the city, and just being able to take advantage of it is something that I want to do best. Though I am still a little bit disappointed that there are fewer and fewer places that offer good quality fried cheese curds, unlike my great state of Wisconsin.
Have your friends visited much now that you live there? Have you been able to play host in Vegas for friends and family visiting?
Let me tell you, I get a whole lot more visitors out here than I did back when I was in Portland, Oregon. So I've been able to have a bunch of friends visit, catch up with them, grab a few drinks and things like that. So it has been spectacular.
Very well. To wrap this up, Greg, I have a little game here I call Bet Your Life on It. I'm going to give you a wager to make. I'll give you two options. You're going to quote-unquote bet your life on it. You would hypothetically, if you were to lose this wager, lose your life. But if you were to win, you'd get an entire second lifetime. You wouldn't double your life. You'd get an entire second lifetime. Of course, this is completely hypothetical. I only explain it to explain the emphasis on which side, or to, on picking the side that you feel most confident in. In 2025, in 2025, you find out that in another state has become the gambling capital of the world. Which do you think is more likely? Was it Colorado? After their recreational glove legalization, they capitalized on everybody's free spirit, started building more and better casinos and attracting more people to the recreational side, not only in adventures in on the mountains and such, but also in marijuana, and coupled that into becoming a gambling travel destination? Or is it Florida, who took advantage of so many retirees going down to the wonderful state of Florida and getting them into these wonderful resorts? Which one of these two states do you believe, if you found out in 2025 or some point in the distant future, became the gambling capital of the United States, overcoming both Nevada and New Jersey, which one would prevail?
Throw my life on this. I don't know if I'd want to throw one unit on this. Oh, boy. let's see here. We're going to go with Colorado just because it is closer to Las Vegas, and they have really have some freer spirits out there with marijuana and everything like that, capitalizing on recreational activities. So we're going to go with Colorado, but this is one that I don't think I'd bet your money on.
Very well, very well. Well, I will keep that in consideration. I'll put you down for just the one unit then. Just the one.
Perfect.
Unit.
There we go.
Yeah. But trust me, I don't think either of those things are going to happen, nor am I going to hunt anybody down if they get any of these questions wrong. Greg, here's your opportunity. Plug your stuff, man. What should people be listening to and why?
You should be following me on Twitter at GUnit_81. And from there, you can catch all the podcasts that I'm on. You can follow us on Twitter at That's Gold Show to catch That's Gold with myself, Steve Heitner, and Rich Johnson. We are on the air every Monday through Friday during the morning, so you're able to catch us every day of the week. And then I'm also obviously on the High Five Super Contest, as you were mentioning before. That drops every Thursday morning, so you're able to get all those plays and all the insight that we have on those lines. And that Twitter handle is at Super Contest Pod. And you can also subscribe to all those podcasts on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Before I start off here, what would you consider, where on the spectrum from recreational gambler to professional gambler would you put yourself?
Somewhere in the middle. I don't play as high of stakes as some people. I know that some people are throwing down four figures on games and everything like that. I'm not quite at that level, but I'm starting to make a little bit of a living out of it, which is really nice, because couple that with a nice steady income that I have now, it's actually a pretty good lifestyle. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably put myself about a 6.
All right, very well. Scale of 1 and 10, he's about a 6 on the scale of recreational to professional gambler. Greg Peterson, thank you so much. We've been trying for a while to get this done. Had to reschedule for a couple of reasons, most of them my fault. So I do appreciate your flexibility for joining us here on The Better Life and telling us about your life as a gambler.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Big thanks again to Greg Peterson for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. My Patreon subscribers should see in Patreon, I put in an audio file just earlier today with my thoughts on the Week 5 NFL lines. Week 5 NFL lines. I talk about a bet that I've already made. I made it the second I saw it. I talk about any teaser potential that I see on the board. And then I talk about the two games I absolutely will not be choosing a team from for Survivor this week. If you're interested in such content, patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can do that. This content is available to patrons of any level. So $1 a month gets you there. I do appreciate everybody's support there. It helps host the podcast. It helps with producing some of the other content, producing some of these t-shirts, etc. So I do appreciate everybody's support. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife. Tip your cocktail waitress, tip your dealers, and tip your favorite podcast host. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can buy said t-shirts. Those are available. I have a The Better Life t-shirt. I have a Keep Calm and Throw Dice t-shirt. And a t-shirt that reads, "One of those idiots who believes in analytics," as a nod to Charles Barkley insulting Daryl Morey, the GM for the Houston Rockets, calling him an idiot who believes in analytics. Fun fact, I have a t-shirt on its way to Daryl Morey, so we will see if he publicly rocks one of those, but he did agree to let me send him one, so it's cool that the person who ultimately was the inspiration behind the idea has a t-shirt on the way for him. Big thank you to all of the podcasts that played my call-in last Monday during the commercial breaks of Monday Night Football. I was calling the hotlines of other podcasts with ideas. I didn't know that I would be called an idiot and then said that I was going to be that there's always something with me. And I guess Vegas Confessions was actually kind of nice to me, but, it was kind of a wash on how well those calls were received. I'm kidding. It's like I called You Can Bet on That talking about Shooting from the Don't. I called Cousin Vito's, casino podcast talking about, gambling themed wrestling characters and what that might look like. And then I called Vegas Confessions to tell them about a time that, I left the person that I went to Vegas with in the room while I went and gambled. So, and then I also left a message for Vice Lounge Online. But for anybody who's heard the recent Vice Lounge Online, you would learn that though that content, that voicemail is probably washed and no longer. So I will have to give them a call back and leave something for them. But those are the questions that those are the things that are brought up to those podcasts. If any of that interests you, check out any one of those shows. I endorse all of those shows, and I am a regular listener to all of those shows. So let that be encouragement to you to check those out if you have an extra 30 to 60 minutes to fit into your podcast schedule each week. That wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It really does mean a lot to me. I've been podcasting for a very long time. I know how even when there weren't a lot of podcasts out there, it was so humbling to know that people were taking the time to listen to my stuff. And now there is just countless hours of entertainment out there for you, especially in the podcasting space. So thank you so much for listening to The Better Life. I love talking about gambling. I love talking about betting. I love talking about casino life, etc. So knowing that you liked listening to it means a lot to me, and it forces me to step up my game and make sure that I'm delivering a good product. So good luck on everybody who is betting week 5 NFL. Good luck if you're betting any other sport that's going on right now. We're going into October, so Major League Baseball playoffs is coming down the line. I will probably be making some series bets in that. I follow Gil Alexander on most of my baseball betting. So if you're looking to make some bets in baseball and want to know where to look, Gil Alexander, host of A Numbers Game, is where I usually look for tips on what to bet in baseball. And if you head to the casino, good night and good luck.